Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, everybody. This is Aaron, and we're back with another bald movie. Jim and I have seen Avengers Endgame. You saw it last night. I saw it at the crack of 9 a.m. this morning at the local Metroplex because fuck me trying to get tickets when those things were released. I had a really good time, and I'm completely satisfied. What do you think?
That's what I assume most fans of the MCU would say with this
Old man Jim's about to tell you, get off his comic book lawn.
No, I mean, certainly, like, look, everybody knows, if you've been listening to Bald Move for a while, that I'm not invested in this universe, right? The characters, this is not a movie made for me, but I'll tell you who it is made for. It's made for anybody who loves the MCU, because I think it does everything, not everything, it does just about everything right.
Yeah.
It provides a closure to this whole arc that they've been building for 10 years that I think would satisfy any fan of the MCU.
Yeah. I mean, this is up here with like Lord of the Rings, and I think even more impressive as far as coming. I mean, there is as you can imagine, a very lengthy CGI battle, several. And unlike others, unlike others I've complained about in recent past, there's like 40 characters, and I fully cared, invested about 37 of them.
Okay.
And this genius, like the Harry Potter genius, the Game of Thrones genius, The Wire, David Simon's The Wire, that's what makes these things kind of rich and awesome. And like, you know, the Avengers isn't as important as some of those. And I don't know, like, I don't know if they'll stand the test of time like others, but I think the complexity in which they pulled this off and how this is both, you know, exciting and thrilling if you like this sort of action, but also it's very well emotionally grounded, and you feel a lot of, or at least I did, felt a lot of feelings of, like, you know, grief, but also joy and like thrill at these people's heroics and sacrifice. And they all feel like real people, like, you know, characters you can empathize with. That's something that I think DC, with their more archetypal characters, you know, tends to struggle with. And Marvel gets by free, or gets it, you know, comes by for free, because their characters always were kind of written as more flawed than archetypal. And I don't know. I mean, this movie's just so fucking Marvel. Like, I was the prime comic book reading age, like 12 to 14, when the Infinity Gauntlet stuff was happening. And this is nothing really like the Infinity Gauntlet, but it feels like a jazz improvisational version. Like, if you took Infinity Gauntlet and had to set it up over 22 movies across 10 years, this is what you'd end up with. And just everything hits. Like, random bits of character trivia become very important, and like, you know, like, even if you only get half the references, I think by the time all the big ones, all the big rendezvous, all the big cameos, really surprising plot twists. I'm surprised at how many like really long term kind of kooky fan theories they threw in here too.
Okay. I think this movie probably could have done with a Previously On, because honestly, I will say I probably missed, I don't know, a quarter of the plots. Like, some characters would appear and I'd be like, who the fuck are they?
Right.
And why do I care? And what relationship do they have to the characters that I do marginally care about? Like, you know, if this was a television show, they would have had a 5-minute Previously On saying, here's all the important stuff that you need to remember before we go into this. I don't know why movies don't do that.
I think part of it is that Marvel just has the confidence that people are going to know, or they're going to care enough to look up and, you know, then lord it over their less invested friends. Like, we'll probably do in the spoiler section.
Only if it can be lorded over them. Only if they give a shit enough to be lorded over.
I can't wait to, I don't want to lord over, but I am curious to see, like, which ones did throw you, because I was thinking, like, man.
The trouble is I don't know their names, so.
Well, I mean, if you can throw the situation, because there's I think one person at the very end that I was like, who in the fuck is this person?
Oh, okay. And maybe it's the same person.
And the camera wanted me to know who it was, and I'm like, nope, sorry, coming up blank. Because I've seen all of the Marvel movies.
I have not.
But there's a couple, like, you know, Thor 2, Iron Man 3 that I've only seen once.
Yeah.
And there's a couple times they throw me. Like, I remember I didn't think I liked Captain America a Civil War as much the first time I watched it because I had completely forgotten kind of the twist that that movie hinges on, which maybe that makes me a bad Marvel fan. But I am passionate about these characters. I've been in love kind of with Marvel characters since I was a little boy, and this felt... These last 10 years have been feel like the reading these comic books, and this felt like we just concluded this like giant summer crossover blockbuster bonanza, and the fun of those was always seeing like the big bads with like universal stakes and all your heroes teaming up and who are going to be the rivals and who are going to be the best friends that they never knew they had and how are their powers going to combine and oh, this guy is going to be able to do this thing with this guy because of course he would. And It's just and everyone gets the, you know, there's patently ridiculous stuff. You got a human fist fighting with aliens right next to a demigod, and it shouldn't work, but it just does because it just, you want it to because it's so fucking awesome. And there's a couple, there's like five moments in this film where when it happened, it was just so fucking awesome. I couldn't believe it. I'm gonna get like Kevin Smith and start like shedding tears over this shit, honestly. I mean, this thing's rocking 97% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
This is the first movie since I've been covering movies for Bald Move where I was unable to get a ticket. I like the servers were melting down. This movie might make $3 billion or something crazy,
sure,
like this.
Yeah, I would say definitely over two. Uh-huh. That's like a given.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I think it does everything right. It's appropriately epic. It is. It gives you all the character moments that I think big fans of the series want. And it doesn't, like, even at 3 hours, I didn't feel like it overstayed its welcome.
And there are
many endings,
yes,
to this movie,
felt
but
very
they
Return
all
of the
felt
King.
Earned and yes, they all felt in a way necessary.
Yeah. I do want to say one thing before I forget is that there's been other dark Marvel films before, especially, you know, our Deadpool and whatnot. Logan, but like in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, this is probably the darkest film I've ever seen. Like, there's some graphic dismemberments and decapitations,
yeah,
and a noticeable uptick in rough language. This is where
when they decapitate Captain Marvel in that first scene, man.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that's rough.
Yeah, there's a couple of sketchy looking dudes cheering, but
you thought she was gonna be the hero of the day. Turns out, nah.
So I think that there's some parents that might bring a 5-year-old to a movie like this thinking that there's going to be some scares, but like it's maybe not Batman Begins scary, but in that neighborhood. So I just wanted to say that. And also, the other thing that really surprised me is how this did feel like an ending.
Sure.
This is the first Marvel movie in a long time where I don't even think Marvel knows what the fuck is going to happen.
It didn't feel like they were setting anything else
up.
Nope. And I didn't stay for the end credits. Don't say what it is if there is one. But is there an end credits stinger?
There is something.
Okay.
So if you care about that thing, you're going to sit through it. If you don't, then you're not going to. But it's not a breadcrumb.
Okay.
Possibly. I don't know. Am I being mysterious enough?
Yeah.
But no, I was surprised that, like, yeah, it did feel like this is the end of a big era, mm-hmm, coming to close. And I hope Marvel is smart enough to realize that it's going to take at least another 5 years worth of movies to build up to something.
Oh, you
got to
scale
epic.
So far fucking back from this.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to take it back to the roots of what makes people love these characters,
right,
and almost rebuild them from the ground up.
Right.
And I think they know that.
Right.
It feels like they know that, in the fact that they sort of, you know, put a stamp on the ending.
But speaking as like a former, thirteen-year-old that read like, you know, the Secret Wars and the mega super crossover events, and like, holy shit, Spider-Man briefly got the power cosmic and was the most powerful thing. It was so fucking awesome, and it's over, and the next month, Spider-Man's chasing Lizard through a sewer.
Just, it doesn't have that luster.
He just punched Galactus in the balls, and now he's chasing a lizard man through a sewer again.
Yeah.
Again.
No,
and this is the challenge for Marvel.
That's the tension. Like,
you have to take a step back, because if you just...
You have to.
And I think Marvel, there's a time in Marvel where they lost that, and they just tried to, like, okay, we'll just do this ever, and it led to fatigue and a crash. And,
yeah.
So you might have to give up the addiction to $3 billion films. You might have to settle for just a billion.
Yeah, I mean, this is the long term versus the short term,
yes.
Right? And I think for the long term to succeed, they need to slow everything down. Take this all the way back to, you know, 2007, 2009, right. Whenever the hell Iron Man came out.
Right.
And say, okay, how are we going to do this again? Not just how are we going to add on to this, but how are we going to recreate this?
There are so many batons that have to be passed. There's so many torches that have to be carried. There's so many pages that have to be turned. And that's going to be kind of exciting because it's going to be there's all going to be new origins. There's going to be, new drives and passions. And that's what made this movie so great, is to see some of these things resolved, like rivalries and like bitter resentments between our teams have been going on for years and several movies now, like how they weave all that into the plot. And I just think it's a real accomplishment to just, this also was a far more complicated plot than I ever imagined. I don't know why I didn't conceive in, like, with all the magical, just raw power that's at hand with the Infinity Stones, why I didn't conceive like something that's more like Rick and Morty than conventional, but.
Yeah, and all these characters, you mentioned, you know, how are their powers gonna come together and sort of mingle with each other?
Yeah.
What kind of stew does that create? And I feel like there's a pitfall here for them to just say, well, now we have all these characters together.
Yeah.
And they all have these powers. Let's lean into that. And they kick open so many possible doors for just expanding on the already epic nature of this that I'm a little worried they might go that direction. But like I said, I think Marvel understands the pacing of these films.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because I wonder if we have seen more or less the end of like the Marvel standalone, because like it's so much, it seems like they are so much better when they just have another guy, like, you know, it can be the Guardians of the Galaxy and a dude, or it can be
Ant-Man and the Wasp,
and or Ant-Man and Spider-Man. Like, wouldn't that be fucking sweet? Like, why would you, if you have Spider-Man, why wouldn't you throw Ant-Man in there? Just get Paul Rudd to do 15 minutes so he can, you know, set it up in the first act and come in for the bat clean up in the third.
Like, and they're CGI-ing half these characters anyway.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to make, I don't know, Paul Rudd 60 years old in the next one, maybe. I don't know.
But I think that's one way they could keep the pedal kind of to the floor without amping up the stakes. Like, it's a lot. They've got all these fun characters. A lot of them are just starting out. Mix them up. Just kind of mix them up. Not, they don't have to team up against a universe-ending threat. They can just, like, team up for some, you know, local
Spider-Man can deliver some pizzas.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. To Wakanda. what else we want to say non-spoilery? I mean, here's the thing. The other thing is, like, if you guys listen to my Captain Marvel movie review, I was very skeptical coming in here. It's like, boy, if this is the linchpin to Endgame, then I really am nervous. They completely shut me up. And it's not that this film doesn't have problems, and I do think the very few weaknesses this film has directly tie back to the Captain Marvel introduction. But I guess we'll talk about that in the spoiler section.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Anything else you want to say?
Nope, that's it.
I arrived slightly late to the theater, so I only got two trailers for us, Jim.
Oh, I've got...
I asked the breakfast place, I got a 9 o'clock, I got a hit. Can you get me in and out here by then? No problem. You'll never believe this, Jim. Was a big problem.
Yeah.
So,
was it the maple syrup? I find that the maple syrup, typically, you spill that,
I don't know,
you're going to be there for a good hour cleaning it up.
I saw The Lion King and The Rise of Skywalker. Do you want to talk about?
I saw both of those.
Okay.
It was a new Lion King trailer for me.
Same here.
I think they're making a mistake.
Boy.
Making these lions too grungy, like too realistic. Don't make these lions look like real lions. Make them a little fluffier. Make them a little cleaner.
Scar was underwhelming. Especially.
Well, okay, Scar, but I'm talking about like Mufasa and Simba.
Mm-hmm.
Like, make these things cuter.
No, well, here's...
They don't have to be exactly lifelike.
I have a theory that Disney's making a huge mistake doing these shot-for-shot remakes of... And this is not even fucking live action. This one is actually has more creative merit because you're translating one form of animation to another. Still the shot-for-shot, but like, all these stuff... None of this stuff. No, I don't know who anyone's excited for this. Like, what did Dumbo get? I'm going to look it up.
I mean, I'll probably see it. Like, that's the thing. I love the movie Lion King.
I will see it too. Yes.
I love Aladdin.
This one, like, sure.
I'll probably see both of those. The style of it could have been a little less realistic and more kind of akin to the vibe of the cartoon.
Yeah. I hear Dumbo, 47% fresh, 55% audience score.
Yeah.
There's not a market for creepy CGI with characters doing bad green screen work, man. There just isn't. And I actually am a huge fan of Jenny Nicholson, who covers this kind of Disney stuff, and she is totally in it, and it really bums her out, and she hates them all. So, like, who are we? I mean, this is just a cynical cash grab, because they know every time they do this, sons and daughters will be drugged to the family movie of the year. But the thing is now they're doing it six times a year.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's fucking crazy. But you're right. I will see this because the music's awesome. And
then, Star Wars, speaking of doing something six times a year, they're ending three enormous franchises this year.
Yeah.
They're not ending them. Let's keep it real.
But the sagas are coming to a
chapter end.
Yeah. What's
in
the other
Star
franchise?
Fast
and Furious?
No. I hope it's not the end of that franchise. No, my girlfriend told me last night. I can't remember. But, MCU, Star Wars. There's something else that's real big.
Is it the X-Men one? Is that like supposed to be the end of the Sony type stuff before they bring it into the whole fold?
Game of Thrones. There we go.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course. It's a franchise. Not a movie franchise, but franchise.
Yeah.
Let's talk about The Rise of Skywalker, because I think I've been on the same page as you that, like, my fandom for Star Wars is flatline. I'm like, I'm not anti it. It's just like,
no, they kind of
I'm
brought
no
me,
longer excited.
Yeah, they brought me a little closer to being excited. Because, look, after the prequels, I wanted nothing to do with Star Wars. I didn't give a shit about Star Wars anymore. Force Awakens helped that a little bit.
It was fun. Felt like Star Wars.
Yeah. Last Jedi, it's kind of... whatever.
I don't want to start this again.
No, but they have an opportunity here to try and fix some of the mistakes that people saw in the last movie and really, end this on a grand note. And I'm skeptical whether they can do that or not, given like my level of fandom and now versus when I was a kid.
Right.
It's practically gone. Solo actually did a little bit. I liked Solo.
I like Solo too. It also helps that I have a 12-year-old boy who loves Star Wars, and even when I'm critical of it, when he tells, the whole drive home, he's telling me everything awesome about the film. You are sweet. I mean, you are completely right. It was sweet when the Star Destroyer rammed into the other Star Destroyer. Sure, it trashes 10,000 years of lore and tactics, but you're right, son. Looked fucking awesome. I can't argue with you.
Well, I feel like there's going to be a new generation saying, talking about, the minutia of how Force ghosts work, right? The hyperspace. Clearly, there's some special circumstance here, and so we need to figure out how to justify it in the lore.
Yep.
People will be doing that because they love these movies.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, and based on the trailer, I think they might actually just nail the tone, which is kind of all I want from Star Wars. If they can do for Star Wars what they did for the MCU and this movie, I will be satisfied.
I do think that however you felt about The Last Jedi, that and however you personally felt about it, Disney seems to have perceived that it was not well received, and it seemed the marching orders from Disney was to run home to mama, boy, because holy shit, Rey is just dressed up as a gender bent Luke Skywalker, and she's standing in the desert with a blue light. It's a Luke's lightsaber.
As Luke does a voiceover, and we see the remains of the Death Star.
No one's ever really gone. And then the Emperor crackles. You are just pulling on my Star Wars heartstrings. And
that's maybe not something I don't want.
But I do think everyone that loves The Last Jedi is like, this is going to be the safest, most crowd-pleasing bullshit, and we could have had avant-garde Star Wars, you Philistines, and maybe you're right, but I don't need my Star Wars to be avant-garde, to tell you the truth.
Not anymore.
Need it to have music video aesthetics.
No.
But we'll see. We'll see. Did you have any other trailers that were out that we want to talk about?
I did, but I don't remember them.
Okay. Well, here is where we part ways with the people who are not club members, because the spoiler-filled movie reviews are exclusively for our club members, and you can join. Hey, there's a 25% off sale for memberships now. If you go to club.baldmove.com, you can get the full pitch. You can save 25% off all new and renewing memberships and get access to the presumably content you want.
Just
in these detailed movie review spoilers. I mean, it's only the biggest movie of the year. So,
so far,
implying there's probably lots of free coverage you don't have to pay for. But I guess you like us since you're done.
Paying for it one way or another.
Yeah,
you're paying for it with your eyeballs or your ear holes.
Yeah.
Or maybe other orifices. I don't know.
Your precious time here on the planet. Anyway, that turned into a lot. club.baldmove.com.